Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The transgender phenomena is taking the nation and really the world by storm, and our youth are caught in the crosshairs. Kids as young as pre-K are being targeted from every angle. The entertainment media, corporations like Target, pushing quote-unquote packers for little girls, children's books, schools, therapists, the medical establishment, such as the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Medical Association, and so much more. Is there hope to counter this push trying to convince girls that they can be boys and vice versa? My guest today is Dr. Erin Brewer. She's co-founder of Advocates Protecting Children. Thanks, Dr. Brewer, for being with us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for addressing this important topic.
So what is the mission of Advocates Protecting Children? What are you protecting them from, besides the world?
Right. Well, yeah, besides the world, our emphasis is on fighting the transgender ideology, and specifically protecting children from either socially or medically transitioned as a result of gender confusion. So we do outreach and education to parents, educators, and policymakers and religious leaders, hoping to provide them with resources and education that will help them to protect children from the transgender ideology.
I'm glad you brought up the religious leaders. To me, there shouldn't be any confusion among Bible-believing, you know, those who believe the Bible. There should not be any confusion, but there obviously is. Among too many religious leaders and denominations. So I'm glad that you're also addressing that. By and large, you're getting a positive response from those who you address this issue with?
Well, generally speaking, there's a lot of ignorance out there. There's a lot of people who feel that they, they just don't want to talk about this issue because it's uncomfortable for them. They don't know a lot about it. A lot of times they feel like they'll be labeled as hateful or unloving if they don't go along with the transgender ideology. And I think that's the biggest problem that we've had with religious leaders, is that they kind of just hope it'll go away because it is uncomfortable and because they've been told over and over again that you have to affirm a transgender identity or else you're not being loving and caring. And I think it's quite the opposite. It's incredibly unloving and unkind to agree with a child that there's something inherently wrong with them. And the only way that they can survive is to essentially kill who they are and become somebody else.
That's an excellent point. And, it is very disturbing that we see children being targeted, relentlessly targeted, and the confusion that it has created. But it's very disturbing for me that the church is not really addressing the elephant in the room, really, because it's out there, and kids in their youth group are being inundated with this stuff. Kids in their Sunday school classes being inundated with this stuff. And if the church does not address the issue, then those kids who attend church every Sunday or every other Sunday or whatever, those kids will think the scripture has nothing to say about this issue. And they need to listen to their teachers and their peers as they're being inundated with this information. Very disturbing.
Yeah, it's really sad. And I think that's one of the reasons Advocates Protecting Children created a curriculum for faith leaders for children's education, so that they can address it right in the church. Because, like you said, too often kids are being inundated with this at schools and out there in the world. If churches don't actively address it, then children are going to assume that what they're hearing out there in the world is accurate and correct.
Yeah.
So it's really incumbent upon churches to take a firm stand on this.
Absolutely. Now, why do you think it's the kids? I mean, it seems to be in, the number of kids that are coming out as transgender, kids and teens who are coming out as transgender, I mean, those stats are just staggering. But why do you think it's the kids who are being targeted with the message that you may have been born in the wrong body?
Well, I think it's really an assault on parents that we're seeing, and an assault on families. Children are vulnerable, and they're being given the message that if they're uncomfortable with their feelings in any way, oftentimes they're being told it's because they have a trans identity, that they were born in the wrong body. We know that childhood is a difficult time. Kids are faced with challenges. They're not always comfortable. They're not always feeling happy. Things aren't always feeling completely comfortable for them. And it used to be we accepted and understood that. It's just a natural part of childhood. Now children are being told something wrong if they're not happy and content all the time. And especially during puberty, which is a time of upheaval for children, their bodies are changing, their brains are changing, their social interactions are changing. Sometimes that's really a difficult thing for kids to handle. Rather than getting support, they're just told, oh, you know, if you're uncomfortable with who you are, it may be because you're actually somebody else. Mm. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that when girls and young women are put on testosterone, testosterone is actually a controlled substance. It's a steroid. And it initially gives them a boost of energy and self-confidence and increases their libido and energy levels. And so these girls, oftentimes who are maybe struggling, get on testosterone and suddenly they feel really good for a short amount of time because of that, you know, that steroid getting into their system. In the same way that somebody who's an athlete would feel really good if they start taking steroids. It's the same process. And so that's kind of confirmation to these girls. Oh, that was what was wrong. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize that it's just a function of the steroid, and that the damage that they're doing, the long-term damage, is irreversible. And they're not addressing the underlying issues, which is sometimes it's an underlying trauma. Sometimes it's a mental health issue. Sometimes it's just a matter of working their feelings out about changing during puberty. And we see a lot of kids on the autism spectrum who are adopting a trans identity. And those are kids who specifically tend to have a really difficult time with change. And so if they're told you can actually put yourself on puberty blockers and don't have to go through puberty, that's a really great solution for these kids in their mind.
Right.
Kind of in their mind, they think, oh, I don't have to deal with all the difficulties of going through puberty.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, these are medical interventions that are just shockingly harmful in the long run that we're offering to children. And really, they should never be a choice. There never should be a choice for children to run away from those difficult feelings and essentially dope themselves. That's really the only way I can explain it to people, is that these are kids who are basically being medicated out of normal childhood experiences.
And they and their parents are not being told all the facts about the long-term or lifelong ramifications of these medications.
Well, and one of the reasons that they're not being told is that these are all very new, and we don't have long-term data on the harmful effects. What we do know is that if children are put on cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers before they go through puberty, they're sterilized for life, that their sexual function is often undermined for life. These are kids who will never have a normal sexuality, that their bodies are permanently changed, and they're increasingly finding evidence of long-term developmental delays, which isn't surprising. Puberty is a time of not just physical change, but also intellectual and social and emotional changes, and those are all being stifled or altered in a way that the body wasn't meant to go. It's not surprising that they're having these cognitive delays and developing learning disabilities as a result of these interventions.
And that's very frightening when we look at the, you know, anticipate the future of the nation, and we're, you know, indoctrinating way too many kids, and they're being put on these puberty blockers, and it's impacting their intellectual growth.
Yeah,
so
right.
what's that mean for the future of the country? I mean,
it's really disturbing. Yeah, it's very disturbing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's incredibly disturbing to me that we have medical professionals who are accepting the proposition that it's okay to harm an otherwise healthy body to deal with some emotional distress.
Yeah.
And oftentimes these kids aren't they're not really struggling with what the experts call gender dysphoria, which is sort of this deep dissonance and difficulty that can be felt. A lot of times these are just kids who maybe, you know, girls who aren't uncomfortable when they start menstruating, or boys who are maybe uncomfortable because they're not fitting in because maybe they're a little bit more feminine than their peers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times these are kids, they don't have significant mental health issues. They just, you know, they're just sort of following along with their peers.
Right.
We've seen that this is social contagion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why the numbers are increasing so rapidly, is that for some reason, teachers and doctors and parents and others out there in our communities are just accepting children when they say they feel like they were born in the wrong body. And there really isn't any other assessment other than the child saying that they would like to go on these medical interventions.
Right. And there's too many concerned parents who are taking their children to therapists, and the therapists, in too many cases, are right on board with this. And yeah. I've read so many stories about, well, you know, in fact, some of the lawsuits that have been brought where, you know, my therapist talked to me for an hour and decided I was really born in the wrong body and immediately sent me to be put on puberty blockers and such. And that's very disturbing. And, you know.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. We've got evidence. There's at least one therapist who has encouraged children to fake a suicide in order to get these medical interventions.
Oh, you're kidding.
So there's actually a narrative that these are children who are going to become suicidal if they're not allowed to access these medical interventions, which is an incredibly horrible message to give to kids, mm-hmm. that if they're having a hard time, that suicide is an option.
Yeah,
we should never, ever present suicide as an option. But now we have healthcare professionals basically emotionally blackmailing parents by telling them if they don't go along with the medical interventions, their child might kill themselves. So in so many ways, this is, you know, undermining children, but it's also just really an attack on parents. Mm-hmm. And so many times parents don't even know what to do.
Right.
A lot of times they're just trying to do what the doctors tell them to do.
Well, right, because they're the professionals, supposedly, and they're supposed to, you know, parents are thinking that, well, whatever the doctor says, it's in the best interest of my child. And and it's coming to the point where that's questionable, especially when it comes to this issue.
Generally speaking, we tell parents not to take their kids to therapists unless they're, you know, unless their kids are really, really emotionally distressed, mm-hmm. because therapists really are not trustworthy anymore. And we also encourage parents to stay with their children at the doctor's offices, because a lot of times now the doctors will ask parents to leave the room, and they'll do sort of a psychosocial assessment of the children without the parents in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, you don't have to leave the room.
Okay.
And we encourage you not to leave the room, because sometimes what'll happen in that interaction is the doctor will say, well, do you feel comfortable in your body? And the child, a lot of children will say no, just because, you know, it's pretty normal not to feel comfortable in your body, even for adults. And then they'll sort of lead them to believing that they're transgender. So we really encourage parents also to opt out of any kind of therapy at school. So don't let kids go to, even the guidance counselors now oftentimes are not trustworthy.
Yeah.
And it's so sad that we have tell parents that people who historically have been advocates and helpers of their children now aren't safe.
It's definitely very sad. But I think unions, you know, teachers unions and such as that have played a role in all this also. It's very frightening when we see what's happening in the schools.
Yeah.
You know, we see the big push, especially since COVID and the lockdowns, school lockdowns, which are crazy, like everything else, but with, you know, tagged on to COVID. But, you know, mental health, the mental health issues are rampant among students who were in lockdown during COVID and such as that.
Mm-hmm.
I know here in PA, there's big pushes to get additional money for mental health help for students.
Right.
And it's frightening when you see that push, because there's no telling what's going to come from that interaction with a therapist.
Well, and the kinds of really invasive questions that the therapists are often asking children and really pitting children against their parents. So if parents don't go along 100% with a child's gender identity or sexual orientation, the parents are labeled unsafe.
Yeah.
What a terrible message to give to kids, that the people who are there to advocate for them and protect them and take care of them are actually the enemy because they don't go along with everything the child wants.
Yeah, that's scary. And I know some states, parents are going to lose their child if they don't go along with the fact, you know, with the myth that, that their child is born in the wrong body. So, but there are some who actually suffer from gender dysphoria. Do you think that those are being shortchanged, so to speak, as we see this push for too many are labeled as gender dysphoric when in reality they aren't? But there are some who actually do suffer from that. So how?
Yes, definitely.
So
and that's actually how I got involved in this, is that I was one of those kids who had gender dysphoria when I was a child, who would have been labeled transgender today. Mm-hmm. And I started speaking out because there's efforts in almost every single state to prevent children from getting therapy that would help them to align their gender dysphoric feeling, so they feel more comfortable with the sex that they were born. And to me, it's just heartbreaking that children who are struggling with the kinds of difficult feelings that I had are no longer often allowed legally to get therapy, the kind of therapy that I got that helped me to overcome my gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
What a horrible disservice. And so those are kids who, instead of exploring the underlying causes of that gender dysphoria, are just encouraged to believe that they're transgender and go ahead and pursue medical interventions.
Yeah.
a lot of times I'm hearing from detransitioners very similar stories to mine. These are kids who oftentimes have a history of sexual assault or sexual abuse or other significant trauma that caused them to dissociate from themselves and essentially try to create a new persona that they felt safer with. And we know that those are kids who do better when they get therapy to help them to explore and identify and find ways to resolve the difficult feelings that they're having.
Yeah, I know here in Pennsylvania, there have been several, Allegheny County, which is where Pittsburgh is located, and several other cities, Philadelphia being one, have banned talk therapy, which that's what you're talking about, talk therapy, where those who are confused, those kids who are confused, or teens, or even adults who are confused, these bans specifically, don't allow teens and minors to be able to talk through their issues when it comes to gender dysphoria or just sexual orientation. But that definitely disservices them and really puts them in great danger of being sucked into this, because there's no where they can get help. And actually, you wrote a book called Always Erin that tells your story and how you got the right help that you needed to get this. And it's a children's book, and I do encourage parents to check into that, Always Erin by Erin Brewer. It was a very, very good book, because there's so many books.
I think that that's something, I'm glad that you mentioned that this is just talk therapy, because I think there's been such a good effort on the other side, paint conversion therapy as something, horrible. Yeah. These kids are tortured, or they're electrocuted, or they're given Ipecac, or, all these horrible interventions. Actually, all of those things are illegal already. They don't need a ban for those. They're already illegal. What they're banning is simply talk therapy. Yeah. And it's the kind of talk therapy that has historically helped children and adults overcome all kinds of difficult feelings. And specifically, gender dysphoria is one of those things that talk therapy is known to be able to help manage or resolve. So so these efforts are just incredibly harmful, to ban these therapies that are actually helpful.
Yeah. Well, that's all part of their agenda, is to ban anything that will help these kids so that the LGBTQ movement can get a bigger boost, I guess. Because, they can't have children, so the only way that their movement can advance is to corrupt children and mislead children into believing that they are not who God created them. And it's very disheartening. Now, your organization, you said you have resources there, and have things to help parents and religious leaders and legislators and such as that. You guys have also written a book, a handbook, Parenting in a Transgender World, which obviously is dealing specifically with parenting. Now, had it gotten so bad and many parents were contacting you guys that you felt you needed to put on paper the steps that parents should take or what they should expect when one of their children begins to identify as transgender or begins to question their sexual identity?
Yeah, we've actually, Maria Kuffler has authored a book called Detox, Detrans, and Desist, which is specifically for parents who have a child who comes out and says that they have a transgender identity, because so many parents were contacting us just in horrible distress. They didn't know what to do because their child announced a transgender identity. And, these are parents who had seen their child grow up and knew that their child didn't struggle with gender identity issues for most of their lives and are trying to figure out how to handle it. So her book is a really good resource for parents whose children have already adopted a transgender identity. And then the Parenting in a Transgender World is sort of a preventative handbook for parents that they can get so that, starting from very early ages, they can sort of inoculate their children against this ideology that is just so prevalent out in our society.
Okay, good. What was the name of the first book you mentioned?
It's Detrans, Detox, Desist, and it's by Maria Kuffler.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, because parents definitely need help, because, it's not just limited to kids in public school, because there's some private schools that have bought into this also, and even beyond that.
Yeah, and a surprising number of religious schools actually are allowing this, and often we've even heard stories of religious schools who are hiding this from parents. So we already know that it's not unusual for public schools to transition a child at school and hide that from parents. So we've had parents contact us who have said that they just found out their daughter's been showering in the boys' locker room and are just completely distraught because they're worried about their daughter's safety.
Oh, yeah.
That's in public school, but we're increasingly hearing that this kind of thing is also happening in some private schools. So we have to be really vigilant as parents to make sure that the environments we're putting our kids in are safe.
Yeah, make sure that a Christian school is actually Christian before you send your kid there. Do you think part of that is? Yeah, do you think part of that is tied to money they get from the government?
I think it's I don't know, because even, you know, private Christian schools get oftentimes will get government funding, right. and they choose not to go along with this. I think it's more that the LGBT okay. activists have done a really good job of infiltrating even Christian institutions. Wow. And we're increasingly seeing, again, churches who are just sort of going along with it. And it's I think a lot of it is that there's been a concerted effort to really take over faith institutions. And so Maria Kessler, my co-founder of Advocates Protecting Children, said that she actually heard an activist talk about, you know, sort of this plan that they were going to get into schools and the churches and the government. And so this has been, you know, something that they've been working on for a really long time. And unfortunately, our religious institutions are often willing to take a firm stand on this. And so if somebody gets them into, say, youth ministry, and they say, oh, we're just going to go along with it because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings mm-hmm. or we don't want to make so-and-so uncomfortable, then it really undermines the entire church family.
That's for sure. Well, and look, yeah, look how many denominations have split. Most recently, the Methodist split over over this whole issue, the LGBTQ issue. And right. I mean, let's face it, Jesus did hurt some feelings when he was walking on this earth.
Yes,
and
yes.
And we as followers need to know what Scripture says, and Scripture is very clear about God created man and woman, and no one was born in the wrong body. I mean, you know, there's no
right.
question about that. And God had,
right.
had a design, and these kids need to be encouraged to live as God intended them to live. So how can
right.
How can folks get your books, and how can folks contact you?
Well, our books are on Amazon, and they're also on our website. So if you go to advocatesprotectingchildren.org, we have a website with a whole lot of resources on there. We also have links to two video series that we've done. One is specifically for parents, and the other is for teachers on how to address transgender ideology,
okay.
As well as the books. You can buy them either from our website. Some people don't want to buy off Amazon.
They don't have a conservative reputation, that's for sure.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right,
well,
right.
And we also, I mean, it's interesting, when Maria Kessler's book was first published, it was taken down by Amazon really quickly.
Oh, wow.
And then there was actually a huge effort by a number of organizations to petition Amazon to get it back up, and it did go back up pretty quickly.
Okay.
So that's encouraging to know right. that they were responsive to the outcry,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, we also feel like we want to make sure that they're available other places
right.
for people who don't want to buy from Amazon
right.
or just in case Amazon does pull their books down, which they could do anytime.
At any time, yeah. That you just kind of hold your breath that the book you saw today will be there tomorrow. So
right, exactly.
Yeah. So I encourage
especially when there is kind of agenda. I mean,
right.
I know that Ryan Anderson's book, I believe, was one of the very first books called When Harry Became Sally. I think that's still
okay.
not
oh, really?
On there,
still not so. Up there? Wow.
Yeah.
I just looked, you know, how the whole internet world responded to What is a Woman? You know, that documentary.
Right.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Crazy. So I encourage your listeners to go to advocatesprotectingchildren.org to access Dr. Brewer's resources. The resources on that website, it's not just her resources, but the resources on that website, and also to check into purchasing her books because they're fantastic. And I really appreciate all the effort that you put into this, because we need an organization who's willing to step out and step up to the challenge of protecting our kids, because they're targeted. There's no question about that. So I appreciate your efforts.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for taking on this issue. And I just encourage parents be strong on this issue. This really is a life and death issue when you look at what the long-term consequences of these medical interventions are. And Maria, I love one of the things that she said. One of the parents she talked to said, if I have to choose between being faithful to God or affirming my child's feelings, I'm always going to be faithful to God. And I think that's important to keep in mind, that, you know, as much as we want to be there for our kids, sometimes the best thing to be there for our child is not to be their friend and affirm things,
right.
but to speak truth into them.
Absolutely. Because you're talking about long-term consequences, but if my memory is correct, there's heightened rate of suicides among those who've actually gone through surgery. The so-called,
exactly. Okay. Yeah, the self-harm and the suicide rates are higher among
yeah.
those who actually medically transition.
Yeah. So the exact opposite of what the advocates are saying when it comes to,
yeah.
you know, if you don't do this, your child's going to commit suicide, but there's an excellent chance
right.
that will happen because they go through the quote-unquote medical interventions. So it's
right,
very troubling.
Exactly.
Yep. So anyway, thanks so much for being with us, and you take
Thank
care.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.